Let's take our Bibles this morning, if we could, and turn to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. I didn't know Joe was going to be here today. I called the message No Average Joe. You like that? Yeah. Actually, I stole that title from my nephew who pastors up in Pennsylvania, so hopefully we're far enough away he won't know it, all right? I thought that was a pretty good title, No Average Joe, because Joseph that we read about in the scriptures, he was not an average person when we see what God used him for and how God used him. And so that's where I come up with that, all right? All of us have challenges in life. There are challenges. Some are more difficult than others. Some are physical challenges. Some are spiritual challenges. Some might be financial challenges. But all of us, in one point or another, have challenges that come in life. And life comes with many of them. And sometimes just a few, but oftentimes there can be many. And the Christmas story actually is a story that came with many challenges to the people that were involved in this story. If you think about it, when you take a young couple such as Joseph and Mary, and you consider their lives and where they were headed and all that was going on in their life at this particular time, and then God interrupts it with some very big challenges for them. And I want us to take a few minutes today. I want to go through the story here of Mary and Joseph a little bit. And I want us to learn some things that we might be able to pick up from Joseph and some of his response to the circumstances or the challenge, if you would, that came into his life. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18, if we could. And the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.'" Verse 24, "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, I want us to think about this, in this story, in this event, in all of these things that were happening at this time. Oftentimes, not always, but many of the times in this particular biblical time, marriages were arranged. Some of you, your children have married people that you wish you could have arranged it differently, right? Or maybe you were glad it worked out all good, all right? Arranged marriages is not a bad deal, I don't think. I don't know. All right. But anyway, they were arranged ahead of time. And when the Bible says here that Joseph and Mary were betrothed, that is the idea of engaged. But an engagement in biblical times was much more taken much more seriously than it seems like it may be in our culture today. When a couple were engaged or betrothed to one another, that was as good as being married in the eyes of the law, in the eyes of the people. That's how they considered it. That's how they thought of it. Now, it was customary that when you became betrothed or engaged to your fiancé, that one of the things that happened is you didn't get married in, a month or two or several months, but actually it was very, very common to wait at least 1 year. There are several reasons for this. One was a test of purity for them. And another one was that during this time, the bride, she would go and she would prepare for the wedding and the celebration and those things. But the groom, he would go and he would prepare a place, a home for them to live. And he would also go and begin a business or a trade or learning how that he might be able to provide for the bride and their family when they came. And so there was this 1 year period of time to approve these things, to accomplish these things, and so forth. Now, Joseph was building a business. He was a carpenter by trade, and he was building up clientele and so forth, and building up his business before the marriage. And he was preparing their home where they would live. And Mary and Joseph, really, if we could put ourselves in that day and that time, they were a very normal couple. They were the normal folks that you would think. I mean, they were a normal couple. They were in love with one another, and they loved to share and talk and spend time together, and on we go. And so they were very, very normal. And one of the things that was very common in that day is that Jewish women would really dream of the fact that, or the idea that one day the Messiah would be born, the deliverer of Israel, the Messiah, the one that would deliver them from their oppression, the one that would be powerful and rule and reign. Now, every Jewish woman of that day dreamed of actually being the mother who would give birth to the Messiah, who would be the one, the mother of the Messiah. That was a very esteemed thing, and it was dreamed of. Now, not like it was not like this necessarily in Joseph and Mary's time. What's going to happen here? There's things going to change, and they were challenged here, and these events are going to challenge her integrity. They're going to challenge Joseph's integrity. They're going to challenge their reputation. Think about this now. Here's Joseph and Mary, a betrothed couple. Joseph is building a business, building clientele, and Mary is busy about preparing for the wedding. And all of a sudden, Mary hears from the angel. She finds out she's with child, and she's going to go, and she needs to tell Joseph this. And so if you can imagine Mary trying to explain this to Joseph, that she is going to have a baby, but this baby is conceived in her by the Holy Spirit. That'd be a hard sell, wouldn't it? I think that would be really tough to convince Joseph that I'm pregnant, but it's from God. How many of you guys would believe that? They'd never heard of a virgin birth before. This is unbelievable. She has betrayed me. They are now being challenged in a very real way. Their reputations are both going to be ruined. Joseph knew he was not the father. Joseph was not your average Joe, though, and he's going to do some things that many probably would not have done. I want us to look and see how he responded in a very challenging situation. This situation here of Mary coming and telling him that she was a child of the Holy Spirit, that needed to be confirmed by an angel. That had to be confirmed by someone else because that was a tough sell. That was a tough thing to be able to say or to prove. Well, no one had ever heard of a virgin birth. No one had ever heard of these things like this, other than the prophet Isaiah and others that prophesied it 700 years before this event actually happened. But besides that, no one had ever experienced this situation before. No one probably even believed in a virgin birth. We do because we have the scripture. We do because we have the Word of God. But in that day and in that time, it would have been very unusual. Well, I want you to catch something here this morning. First of all, I want you to notice something. First of all, Joseph, he forgave rather than retaliate. Joseph did something very, very interesting here, and it made him really not the average Joe. Let's just really be honest and down to earth here. The average Joe would have told Mary to get off the train, right? He would have told Mary, nah, yeah, right. I don't believe that for a minute. He would have been very angry, and he would have been very disappointed and heartbroken and on and on. And he would have felt betrayed, and she would have certainly appeared to be disloyal. And there could have been a huge amount of problems with this whole thing. But I want you to see that Joseph, he chose to forgive rather than to seek vengeance against her. In Romans chapter 12, it tells us that we are not to seek vengeance towards our enemies, that God will repay. There are some things that you just have to take and you put it in God's hands and God will take care of it. And so here we have the situation where Mary seemingly has betrayed Joseph. Seemingly she has been unfaithful. Seemingly she has been totally disloyal and very hurtful. And I will imagine Joseph is reeling in disappointment and pain emotionally and so forth. But I want you to see that this angel came and spoke with Joseph. He has this dream, and we just read that, and God explains these things the angel did. Now, I want you to see his response. He was not self-seeking here. He could have very easily thought about only himself. He could have very easily publicly humiliated her. He could have very easily, broken the betrothal. He could have very easily said no, tried to hang on to his reputation, because his reputation certainly would have been questioned. His reputation certainly would have been challenged at this point in this time. But I want you to see, he didn't do that. He did not want to hurt. It was not his purpose to hurt Mary. It was not his desire to be vengeful towards her. He did not want to humiliate or embarrass her. He did not want to challenge her integrity. That was huge. He had a godly fear, if you would. He had a godly fear and respecting this and thinking about this, and he had respect. Now, I don't know if that had been myself or you. I'm not quite sure how we would respond to something like that. We might respond like Joseph did and be kind and gracious and not want to humiliate her, but go ahead and break the betrothal. But that's not what he did. He ended up staying with Mary, and he ended up, when he heard from the Lord, he understood these things that were happening and what was going on. It was very, very challenging. But he chose to love her rather than to retaliate and seek revenge and get even. Look at another thing, and that's unusual. Look at another thing I want you to see here, Joseph. Joseph obeyed God completely. He obeyed the Lord completely. You know, it's tough sometimes to be obedient to what the Scriptures say in a culture that is so against the Bible, so against biblical worldview, so against the things that really matter or things that are important. Matter of fact, it is very difficult that if you are going to be a strong believer and you're going to stand for your faith and you're going to stand on Scripture and you're going to stand for what the Word of God says and you're going to stand for biblical principles, today in this culture, you're probably going to have to stand out. It'll probably be very unusual behavior that you'll have to do. It'll probably be not like everyone else, because everyone else today is seeking themselves. Everyone else today is doing what is convenient. Everyone else today is doing what is best for them. Everyone may not like you when you stand on biblical principles. Matter of fact, I'll guarantee they won't. The Bible tells us in Timothy, yea, all who will live godly will suffer persecution. We don't really suffer persecution in America, not like they do in some other countries, not for our faith. The biggest suffering that we probably have is that someone may scoff at you, or they may mock you, or they may laugh at you or poke fun of you. But that's the biggest persecution that we face. But there are other believers around the world that if they share their faith or mention their faith or get caught praying even or going to church, their very lives might be at jeopardy. We don't really know that. We don't really experience that. But you know, Joseph, he obeyed God completely. Even though it didn't make sense, even though it was very, very difficult, even though others may have mocked and made fun of him, others may have come along and said, Joseph, are you seriously? You're going to marry her? You're going to stick with her after she's been unfaithful? You're going to do this and this? And I mean, he could have been challenged in so many ways. But he had heard from the Lord and he knew what the Lord had said. And what the Lord had told him and what the Lord had promised. And maybe through the dream and through the message of the angel and all that he had seen and heard, maybe that he was beginning to remember some of the prophecies from Isaiah 7:14 and Micah 5:2 and some other places. Maybe he was beginning to remember the fact that the Messiah was going to come, and this very could very well might be the Messiah. But he obeyed God completely. He was doing God's will, and doing God's will usually goes against culture. It usually does. Culture is usually not in favor of Scripture. People say, well, everyone's doing it. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't mean that it's okay. They were. Here's something, if you don't catch anything else this morning, I hope that you'll learn this. We as believers are not called to do the easy thing. We're called to do the right thing. You see what I'm saying? We're not called to do what's easy. What would have been easy for Joseph to do in this story would have been to privately put Mary away, or even publicly put her away and seek a little bit of a vengeance there. But Joseph chose not to do that. He chose to do the right thing. And so God doesn't call us as believers to do the easy thing, but to do the right thing. Oftentimes, the easy thing is not the right thing. Oftentimes, and probably usually, the easy thing is not the right thing. We are called to do the right thing and be obedient to the Lord. Then look at a third thing here that I want to share with you. Joseph here, he trusted God fully. He trusted the Lord fully. Joseph takes courage here. It took a lot of courage for Joseph to go ahead and accept Mary. It took a lot of courage for Joseph to stay in that relationship with Mary. It took a lot of courage for him to, I don't know about you, but can you imagine Joseph trying to explain to his friends, she says it's from God. She said it's conceived by God. Do you imagine what Joseph's friends were saying? Yeah, right! Joseph, you're crazy! They didn't believe that. You're nuts if you believe that story. But he trusted God completely. And it took a lot of courage to do that. It took a lot of courage to stand for what was right. It took a lot of faith, too. He had to really believe the message from God that came through the angel, didn't he? He really had to believe that. It took a lot of faith for him. He was in the middle of a time of great difficulty and confusion. I don't know if you've ever been in a time of difficulty and confusion, but I will guarantee you, in Jewish culture, the situation that Joseph and Mary found themselves in, it was a very difficult one and very confusing. And I want you to understand something. Mary also, by the way, she did not ask for this. This is what God chose to do. Do you see what I'm saying? God stepped in and he interrupted Joseph and Mary's plans for their life. God sometimes steps in and he interrupts. We may be headed down this path and here we go and we've got it all figured out. And then God just steps right in and he interrupts every plan and thing that we have in mind. And he says no. Or he has a different plan. He sends us in a different direction. When we're in the middle of a time of difficulty and confusion, it is very, very important that we trust God completely. That we fully trust Him. That we know, hey, this is of God. This is what God wants. Totally and completely, we fully trust Him. He put his trust in God. You know, we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future, right? We don't know what the future is. I'll tell you, sometimes we think, if I knew. No, it's probably better that we don't know. Because you may not be ready. You may not be ready to know what the future holds. But the one thing you can do is you can be ready and know the one who holds the future. So no matter what the future brings, you're in that relationship, that right relationship with the Lord, the one who holds the future. so that when you end up in those circumstances, you end up in those difficulties and those times of confusion, that you will know how to respond. You will know the right way to react. You will know what is necessary, what you ought to do, what you should do, how you should respond. Joseph, he trusted God, and he trusted him completely, thoroughly. We can ask ourselves today, if I'm in the midst of difficulty, if I'm in the midst of confusion, do I really, am I trusting the Lord fully, completely? You see, God directs the path of a righteous man, the Bible tells us. He directs the path of a righteous man. I want you to think about this as we approach Christmas next week. We're going to be celebrating Christmas. And I pray that as Christmas comes, that it reminds us, that it is not doing the easy thing, but it's doing the right thing. That as Christmas approaches and maybe you're having a difficult circumstance, or maybe you have a troubled situation, or maybe you have a confusing situation, or a difficulty, whatever it is, are you willing to be like Joseph and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you fully. I'm going to trust you completely. Lord, I don't know exactly what you're doing, but I know, Lord, you're growing me. You're helping me to grow. You're helping me to mature. You're strengthening me. I don't know what it is, but Lord, I don't want to do just the easy thing. I want to do the right thing. You know, what better gift could you give to the Lord this year for Christmas than to do the right thing? To do the right thing of what God wants you to do. It may be very difficult. It may be very, very hard. And it may be something, you know, like Mary, you're not looking for it. Like Joseph, they weren't looking for this. But God interrupted in their life, in their plans, and God says, this is what you need to do. I don't know your circumstances, your situation, or what may be happening. But I will guarantee you this, if you trust the Lord completely and fully and you do the right thing, God's going to bless you for that. God will bless you for that. You'll never regret doing the right thing. You know, there have been a lot of people, businessmen, that have been on their deathbed and wish they had spent more time with their family. But there's many others that, you know what, they put their family first and they have no regrets. They did the right thing and they have no regrets. They were obedient to the Lord and they have no regrets. My prayer is that whatever God challenges us to do, that we would do the right thing, whether it is easy or whether it is hard, but that we would be like Joseph and respond as God would have us to. Would you stand with me this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment as the musicians prepare. We want to give you an opportunity, an invitation this morning to maybe you need to surrender an area. Maybe there's a situation or there's a difficulty that you just really need to work out and work through with the Lord. And maybe God's saying, you know, you need to trust me completely. You need to be obedient. Maybe you're here this morning and none of this makes any sense to you. And maybe it's the first time you've been in church in a long time. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your heart and your life to Christ. That if something were to happen to you today, you don't know for sure that heaven's your home. You don't know because you've never fully, completely given your heart and life to Christ. My friend, I encourage you this morning that you might seek someone out, that you might do that. We would pray with you. We'll show you the scriptures, how you can know for sure. There's others that are here. You probably need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You never have. That's a first step of obedience. You need to follow in believer's baptism. Maybe today you'd be the day that you would surrender and say, Pastor, I need to be baptized. And I'm willing to do that. I need to do that. Maybe there's others that you have a burden for, a lost loved one or a friend or family member. And you need to pray for them that they might come to know the Lord as their Savior. I don't know what the needs are today exactly, but you do, and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. So I trust that if He has, that you would be obedient to Him. We're going to give you an opportunity to come and to kneel at the altar this morning if you'd like to, and we can pray with you if you have a need this morning. Father, as we come before you, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this story of the life of Joseph and Mary. And Lord, we see how that you worked and how you moved in their lives. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help that to be real to us. Lord, I pray that if there be any here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today might be the day that they would come, that they would receive the gift of salvation that you offer to them, that they might receive that freely, Lord. And Lord, if there are others that maybe need to follow you in believer's baptism, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to have the courage to step out and to do that. Lord, just have your will and way now in this invitation, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.